HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Today I'm joined by Stephanie Casey of Transparency International Ireland. Stephanie is, among other things, the Integrity at Work Programme Director. Stephanie, you're very welcome. How are you today?
Oh, good, Declan. Great to be here.
Brilliant. Yeah, really looking forward to having you on. I think it's a fascinating world you guys work in. Do you want to just explain to people what Transparency International Ireland does and indeed what you do?
Yeah, well, I suppose I should start with Transparency International. So firstly, to start with that, Transparency International is a worldwide movement of organisations who are dedicated to fighting corruption worldwide. And people often ask me, actually, what do we mean by corruption? So we define corruption essentially as the abuse of entrusted power for private gain. So Transparency International works to hold the corrupt to account and to support people who expose and speak out against corruption. So the Irish chapter, Transparency International Ireland, was established back in 2004. And really, since 2011, we have focused a great deal of our work on advocating for greater protection for whistleblowers. And we actually run Ireland's national helpline for whistleblowers, the Speak Up Helpline, which provides information and advice to anybody who is considering, blowing the whistle or making a protected disclosure. And we also run an independent law centre, the Transparency Legal Advice Centre, which provides free legal advice to whistleblowers.
We'll actually come back to Integrity at Work, because I know that that particular programme is very close to your own heart, or a key part of your role. Whistleblowing versus speaking up.
What is the difference?
Yeah, well, Transparency International defines whistleblowing as the disclosure of information about wrongdoing in or by an organisation which threatens the public interest. So what does that mean? And I might try and explain it a little bit more by giving a recent and very relevant example to the situation that we find ourselves over the past year and a half. And that is the example of the whistleblower, Dr. Li Wen Liang. And he was the Chinese doctor. He was actually eye doctor working in a hospital in central Wuhan. And back in 2019, he tried to warn his fellow medics of a disease that he believed looked like SARS, and he thought it was another deadly coronavirus. Unfortunately, he was not heard. He was not listened to. Quite the contrary, he was told by the hospital to stop making false comments. He was actually investigated by the police for spreading rumors. And he ultimately died of the disease himself. So this is a really good example of somebody who in the workplace perceives something that is of imminent risk or danger to the public interest and tries to raise that concern and have it addressed. So that really defines whistleblowing. However, many organizations also use the term speaking up. And you could say really that speaking up is a much broader term used by organizations that covers a wide range of issues from behaviors and conduct right through to fraudulent or corrupt activities. Now, it's really important to foster a culture where people do feel safe to come forward and raise a concern, any kind of concern that they may have, so that the organization can take action quickly and address that concern. But this is somewhat different. The broad definition of speaking up is somewhat different from the process of making a protected disclosure as it's defined in Ireland's whistleblowing legislation.
Yeah, a beautiful segue for me, Stephanie. I was going to ask that exact question. So whistleblowing, roughly speaking, against the public interest, speak up could be anything internally in an organisation, I guess, where someone perceives a wrongdoing by the organisation for financial gain or moral or ethical or whatever the reason might be. So what is the Protected Disclosures Act? Who is protected? What types of things are protected? And how does that legislation work to protect employees?
Okay, so the Protected Disclosures Act is Ireland's whistleblowing legislation. It came into place in 2014. And the purpose of the legislation is to protect workers. And there's a very broad definition of workers, which I can go into in a minute. But essentially, it protects workers who report any kind of wrongdoing or corruption in the workplace. So now there's a very there's actually a list of what are called relevant wrongdoings that are defined under the protected disclosures legislation. But this list includes the following, but it's not limited to the following. And so I'll just go through those if I may. So it includes things like an offence, a breach of legal obligation, or a miscarriage of justice, that the health and safety of an individual is being endangered, that there's any kind of damage to the environment, that there's any kind of unlawful or improper use of public body funds, that there's any kind of oppression or discrimination or gross negligence by a public body, or that there's any concealment of information relating to any of these different types of wrongdoing. And as I said, this, the wrongdoing is not necessarily limited to these, but these are the relevant wrongdoings that are named in the legislation. Sure. And this can be wrongdoing that happened in the past, that's happening at the moment, or that may be about to happen in the future. So essentially, as I said, the legislation is there to protect a worker who comes forward to, because they reasonably believe that one of these forms of wrongdoing is taking place in their organization, and they want to highlight that and have it addressed. And so the Act is there to protect anyone who comes forward from being penalized in any way for actually speaking up. Because as we know, unfortunately, whistleblowers are sometimes not welcomed by organizations. And we've seen some very high profile examples of whistleblowers who've been...
Garda McCabe immediately comes to mind.
Yes, exactly. And actually, Garda McCabe is our former Sergeant McCabe, actually contacted our helpline, back when he was first dealing with the issues that he was dealing with within An Garda Síochána, and he's actually now a patron of Transparency International Ireland.
Brilliant. Excellent. A couple of things just to unpack on that. First of all, you said it could be in the past. Is there some sort of statute of limitations on things, or is it open-ended?
No, there's no statute of limitations, actually. But obviously, reasonably, it may be difficult to show that you have a reasonable belief of wrongdoing that happened, very much past.
Practical approach.
Exactly. And there is also a limitation. If you believe that you are being penalised as a result, or that you're suffering retaliation as a result of actually, raising a concern with your employer, there is a limitation there of 6 months within which you can actually bring a claim to the Workplace Relations Commission around that. So, I think workers do need to be cognizant that if they believe they are suffering, for having raised a concern, to seek legal advice as early as possible if they wish to pursue that matter from a legal standpoint.
And that's an interesting question, actually. So is there a... Should people raise things? What's a best practice process if someone sees something wrong? Is it raise it internally first?
Yes. So, generally speaking, the legislation is set up in a way that very much facilitates people reporting internally in the first place. And we know actually from research that we've carried out, we carried out a survey on attitudes towards whistleblowing. And we found there that the majority of employees actually want to report their line manager in the first instance. And actually, this is something that we see in working with certain organizations, that they have the belief that workers, will probably want to go to, for example, a hotline, or they might want to go to somebody in the board of directors. And while it's very important to make all of those options available to staff, the key person really is the line manager in the first instance in terms of reporting. Now, there are other options also available under the legislation for workers to report. For example, they can report to what's known as a prescribed person. So these would be, you know, regulators who are nominated, you know, under the legislation covering certain areas. And then in certain instances, if you work, for example, in a public body, you can go to the minister that's responsible for the body in which you work. And in certain instances, you can also choose to go to what is referred to as others under the legislation. So that might be somebody like a TD or, for example, a journalist. But what we would say is really consider carefully and seek advice before you decide how you're going to speak up, if you're not speaking up necessarily, or indeed, actually, if you're speaking up to your employer. But if you decide to go outside of your employer, to go, for example, to a regulator or to somebody else, there are additional criteria to be met under the legislation in order to make that kind of disclosure. So for example, if you decide to go to a regulator, you have to show, you have to reasonably believe that the wrongdoing that you are highlighting falls within the remit of that prescribed person. And you also have to show that the information that you're reporting is substantially true. And so there are additional tests, essentially, if you want to go to somebody outside of your employer.
So back to the Protected Disclosures Act, what obviously you mentioned that it's, you know, if people feel they're being victimized, I guess, as a result of making a disclosure, how does the legislation work there? Is it WRC? Is that the route?
That would be the first port of call. Yes, absolutely. If they want to take a case. Now, the law is there to place an obligation on the employer to protect the identity of the disclosers, so to protect their confidentiality, and to protect them from any form of retaliation or penalisation. So every employer should have a whistleblowing or protected disclosures policy and procedure. And within that policy and procedure, they should provide a way for a worker to report any kind of penalisation that they are suffering. So again, in the first instance, obviously, you know, what employers want and what the law wants is that the worker feels safe and confident to raise the concern in the first place. And then if they are suffering any kind of retaliation, that they can also report that to the employer. And the employer then should take the necessary action to address that. It's really only in a situation where the employer has failed to address that kind of penalization that a worker might then seek legal advice and consider taking a case.
You mentioned a number of relevant wrongdoings. Is there any particular ones that are more common in Ireland, or is it a fairly even mix?
It's in terms of the Speak Up helpline, I can speak to the, you know, obviously to the kinds of calls that we receive on the Speak Up helpline. And we publish a report every 2 years relating to data, you know, anonymized data on that that we receive to the helpline. So the kinds of reports that we would receive usually relate to mismanagement of public funds. We receive quite a high number of calls, for example, from the health sector, from the education sector. They would be the two most reported sectors in terms of whistleblowing concerns. And unfortunately, quite a high proportion of the calls we receive also relate to whistleblower retaliation. So often people will come to us when they have tried to make a report and believe that they have been penalised for doing so.
And yes, Stephanie, with your permission, we'll link that report under the podcast because I know you sent it to me and it is a fascinating read, eye-opening to say the least. Two things. I'm going to ask you two very cynical questions, one from the employer's point of view and one from the employee's point of view. How do you guys guard against employees weaponizing this? So I make a disclosure and then I go for a promotion that I'm totally not suitable for 9 months later and I start screaming discrimination or victimization, sorry.
Okay, so I think really this all comes down to the processes within an organisation and the systems that they put in place. So when an organisation is setting up their protected disclosures policy or writing their protected disclosures policy, it's really important to also consider the procedures that accompany that policy. So it's very easy, you know, to, well, it's not very easy, but it can happen that a policy is written and then people, the employer hasn't really thought through what they're going to do, you know, when somebody actually presents with a disclosure. So it's really important that they have thought through who's going to receive the disclosures and, very importantly, how those disclosures are going to be assessed or screened. And this is really a key part of the process for employers. So they need to look at the report that's been received and try to assess whether or not it might potentially meet the definition of a relevant wrongdoing. And it's very important to point out that often, you know, employers are very keen to make a distinction between, you know, what might be seen as, say, a grievance, you know, workplace related or employment related yeah. grievance, and a whistleblowing matter or protected disclosure. But often in our experience, we find that the two very much overlap. So I can give you an example, just a kind of practical example of that. If you take an example where somebody's being asked to work, you know, overtime on a regular basis without any time in lieu, and it's in contravention of their own, you know, contract in terms of their working hours that they're contracted to do, they might come forward and raise a protected disclosure about that. And the worker might say, well, actually, no, this is a grievance that's related to your own contract of employment. Yeah. However, the employer could be in contravention of the Working Times Act, which is a breach of a legal obligation, which is potentially a protected disclosure.
Okay.
The protected disclosures legislation really only comes into play where the worker subsequently believes that they've been penalised for making that disclosure. So employers need to be very careful in documenting every disclosure that comes in, even if it comes in verbally, that is documented and that information is documented is shared with the disclosure so that they confirm the content of that disclosure. And then the process for assessing that disclosure and potentially investigating it and reaching a conclusion is all carefully documented, and that there is very clear communication with the discloser right the way through. So these are the mechanisms through which an employer can really demonstrate how they have responded to a disclosure, which may then come into play if somebody is to come back at a later stage, as per the scenario that you suggested, Declan, might come back at a later stage and go, well, look, I didn't get that promotion and I believe it's because I made that report, you know, 9 months ago. Well, then the employer has then the backup to say, well, look, you know, here's the process we followed. Here are the communications that we followed with you right the way through. And remember, you know, a worker can't just come forward with some kind of unsubstantiated claim or some kind of allegation. They have to demonstrate that they have a reasonable belief of the wrongdoing, and similarly that, you know, that they're being penalised as a result of making that original report.
No, makes a lot of sense. I'm going to jump into your opinion on what good looks like on the process, but I did say I was going to have two cynical questions, for one from each side. The one from the other side then, I guess, is how do organisations ensure that they don't have a lovely process in place that looks great, that ticks all the boxes, but in effect is just a virtue signalling or you know, a public persona that isn't actually followed by the culture internally?
That's a really good question, Declan. And unfortunately, you know, we do see examples of that all the time. We have organisations that have great policies and procedures, and maybe they have external hotlines, but the culture is such within the organisation that staff either feel very nervous about coming forward or they subsequently suffer for coming forward. So, again, I'm going to come back to the survey that we carried out and asked you to whistleblowing in Ireland, our integrity Equity Work Survey back in 2016. And we actually asked people, well, firstly, one in five of us have witnessed some form of wrongdoing in the workplace, you know, during our time working.
I'm sorry, Stephanie, what are you defining as a wrongdoing in that, for that stat?
So something that they believed, you know, was of some concern in terms of, some kind of fraudulent activity or some kind of unethical activity, you know, within
organization.
And so one in five of us believe that we have seen something. And actually about 60% of people who have witnessed something actually made the decision to come forward and, you know, raise a concern. However, over 40% don't come forward and raise concern. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, why is that? And the two big barriers to speaking up are, firstly, a fear that you're going to lose your job, and secondly, a fear of futility. So what's the point of speaking up? Because nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to be done in response to this, even if I do come forward and I'm just, you know, putting my own neck on the line for no good reason. So that fear of futility is real, and it's very important that employers try to address that. So going beyond just having the policy in place, as you said, Jacqueline, you know, creating an environment where staff know that when they come forward, action will be taken, and demonstrating that clearly to staff.
And in terms of best practice, Stephanie, one of the things you mentioned was that, you know, people need a good way to articulate this, their concern. And it needs to be relatively anonymous. Obviously, you know, you don't have a wide range of people having access to that. How do organizations pick the right person? Is it person or people to effectively go against the organization potentially?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be a variety of people, because as I was saying, we know that people want to report to their line manager in the first place. So we would advocate in the work that we do through the Integrity at Work program that anyone, you know, might potentially receive a protected disclosure. Anybody who's in any kind of line management or even team lead position may potentially receive a report that, you know, would qualify or may qualify as a protected disclosure. So it's really important that all staff are aware of the whistleblowing policy and procedures, and very importantly, that they're trained around that, because they need to know, they need to recognize when somebody comes forward, you know, what they might be dealing with. And in many instances, when people come forward, they're very nervous about doing that, very anxious about doing that. So again, they need training around how to, you know, receive that report appropriately and communicate appropriately with the person who's making it. So really it comes down to welcoming bad news within the organization. And, you know, it's human nature that nobody really wants to hear bad news, but the reality is that if you encourage staff to raise ethical concerns, it's vital for the organization. We know, for example, the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, their report on fraud within organizations has shown that over 40% of fraud within organizations is actually uncovered by whistleblowers, by tips from staff within the organization. So you need to train your line managers to receive those reports, to recognize the importance of those reports. But also you need to provide other mechanisms through which people can come forward in the first instance. So whether it's an email, whether it's some kind of telephone number, or some organizations, you know, take on an external hotline to receive that initial report. And then there has to be an opportunity also for disclosers to come forward and actually meet with a member of staff or members of staff. You know, it doesn't have to be one person necessarily who is responsible for this area. Some of our members in the Integrity of Work program, for example, a report may come into, for example, a line manager, and then that report will be passed by the line manager to a group or a kind of panel of people, usually coming from different areas within the organization. So you might have somebody from HR, you might have somebody from internal audit, you might have somebody from the legal team, and they will actually take that report and carry out a screening or an assessment of the report to decide on the next best steps. But the key thing in all of this is preserving the confidentiality of the discloser. It's very important that their identity is kept confidential unless it's necessary to reveal it for the purposes, for example, of an investigation further down the line.
And in terms of that in practice, Stephanie, like what would, like if it was a disclosure that the organization was doing something against the public good, whatever that might be, seeping waste into a water supply, something like that, how many people within the organization in practice should be told? Do you know what I mean? Like where the actual individual, or should it go beyond the whistleblowing team, if you like?
It really should be kept to the smallest number of people that is possible, because this, you know, obligation to preserve the confidentiality of the discloser is a statutory obligation on the employer. So really the fewer people that know, the better. In terms of preserving that confidentiality, don't forget that information can be shared about the report that's being made without necessarily revealing the identity of the discloser. Pseudonyms can be used or case numbers can be used. So you really want to contain the identity of the discloser to as few people as possible, but you can certainly share the report with the appropriate people who need to be able to take action to address that report.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And the reason I guess I'm laboring that point is I'm guessing that is a key concern of most individuals who do speak up or who do whistleblow.
Absolutely.
As I introduced you, I did say you were the program director for Integrity at Work. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that program?
Sure. So we developed, I suppose, coming from our experience dealing with whistleblowers on the helpline and through our law centre, the Transparency Legal Advice Centre, we saw more and more that employers were sometimes getting it wrong in terms of how they were actually dealing with whistleblowers or even putting whistleblowing systems in place. So we developed the programme to work with employers across all sectors of any size, to help them to develop whistleblowing systems and procedures, but more importantly, to create a culture where staff feel safe to come forward and raise a concern in the first place. So all of the members, we've 31 members in the programme currently. We've everybody from small charities like ActionAid up to large organisations such as Revenue, and the Department of Education is a member. The Department of Justice is sponsoring a number of agencies within their aegis to take part in the programme. Every member that joins the programme signs a pledge that they will protect any workers who come forward to raise a concern, that they'll take action in response to those concerns, and that they will signpost workers to advice, guidance and support, which includes the Transparency International Ireland Speak Up helpline. And that pledge is signed by the chief executive of the organisation and by the chair of the board. And that was a point that I wanted to make when we were talking about, you know, who should, you know, systems within organisations around whistleblowing and protected disclosures. It really does need to come from the board down. That commitment to fostering that culture needs to really start at the top.
Stephanie, if people want to get in contact with you about Integrity at Work or anything we've spoken about today, what's the best way to go about it?
Yeah, well, look, I would really welcome people to have a look at our website, integrityatwork.ie. You'll see the full range of support that we provide to organisations there. We run training and workshops right throughout the year. And something to be aware of is that we have a new EU whistleblowing directive, which is being transposed into Irish law as we speak. And that's going to place an obligation on all private sector companies of over 50 staff to establish a whistleblowing policy and procedure. There's going to be some changes coming down the line, even in terms of our existing legislation. So we're running workshops right throughout the year for both members and non-members. So have a look at integrityatwork.ie to find out more about those. We also have a conference, an online conference coming up on the whole area of leadership and whistleblowing, which is coming up in November. Again, there'll be information on integrityatwork.ie on that. And we always welcome people to follow us on our Twitter account. The handle is @integrity_IE. And then if anybody may have a concern themselves or wish to maybe raise a concern at work or make a protected disclosure, then please do look at speakup.ie. Or call our helpline. The number is 1800 844 866.
Brilliant. Thanks, Stephanie. And we'll link all of that information below the podcast. We'll also link the most recent report, Stephanie. As I said, with your permission, I think it's a eye-opening read for people, and especially our listeners who are primarily HR professionals. I think it's very interesting for them to understand what's going on and what their obligations are if they don't already know or aren't fully on top of it. Stephanie, thanks so much for today. Maybe we'll get
pleasure, Jacqueline,
near the conference time, and we might just have another catch up to see what's going on in your world.
Yeah, we'd be delighted to do that. Thanks so much for having us.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.